G-6, Central Plaza, New Birchwood, New Kerguelen. As soon as the group left New Birchwood's remarkable Hall of Memories for one last attempt to talk the squadron out of forcing them into a choice that at least seemed slightly less impossible than it had moments earlier, an alien in an emerald green tunic approached from one side and stepped right in front of Dan. "Dan?" she began, coming across as female as she spoke, in the inexplicable way that usually gave the humans an idea of a messenger's gender absent of any discernibly dimorphic physical features. She took hold of his hands, her own feeling somehow gentler than the ones Dan was used to despite looking the same as Sacco's and Leisha's. Her face was kind and warm, too. Next, the alien moved to Terra, repeating the same greeting. Terra clasped her other hand on top, momentarily sandwiching the aliens. Dan and Billy looked on slightly uneasily, hoping this wouldn't be taken as any kind of aggressive gesture and that the green tunic-wearing messenger wouldn't feel trapped in any way. They had nothing to worry about.
"Sacco?"
the friendly alien said, turning to him while one of her hands was still between both of Terra's.
"Can you take me to Earth? I want to see the child before the squadron do anything rash and irreversible. After all the humans have done for us, it would be the least I can do to try to help the child who clearly means so much to them. I was touched by their comments, and with the old caste rules having gone out of the window, there is nothing to stop you from carrying a lowly doctor such as myself to Earth. It won't take long."
Terra lifted her hand and pulled the kindly messenger, this kindly alien doctor, as she had just identified herself, in for a hug. Once more, Dan and Billy shared the uneasy glance of two men concerned that Terra's unapproved escalation of physical contact could be taken negatively. Once again, however, they had nothing to worry about. The doctor reciprocated as best she knew how.
"Thank you," Terra said. "What's your name?"
"Melly,"
the doctor replied.
"Melly,"
Terra smiled.
"Dan, Melly is going to help Piper. Right, Sacco? You're going to bring her to Earth, and she'll be able to help because she's a doctor and knows so much more about stuff like this?"
"There you are,"
an instantly familiar voice interrupted, catching everyone by surprise. They all turned in its direction, seeing the confusing but tremendously welcome sight of Leisha emerging from the Hall of Memories they had just vacated.
"Were you trying to reach me from in there?"
he asked.
"Yes," Sacco replied. "Did you look around at anything before you came out?"
Leisha nodded, surprising the humans by doing this in response to his fellow messenger when he normally only ever did so to them. It seemed as though he was internalizing the human gesture if he hadn't fully done so already, likely on account of how much time he'd been spending in and around plain old Birchwood as of late.
"There is so much we don't know about our own history. Boone, when did you learn of all this? Why did you keep it from us?"
"That's for later," Sacco cut in, saving Dan the trouble of keeping things on track. "Leisha, the former squadron commanders have presented the humans with the choice of either venturing through the gate to prove it is harmless or facing the prospect of both gates being destroyed. Needless to say, the ongoing contact that could be required to ensure Piper's well-being on Earth is incompatible with the second option."
"I believe the gate is safe,"
Leisha replied immediately, and so confidently that everyone knew there had to be a good reason.
"We found a new transcript on Earth, at the planet's south pole. I will talk to the squadron about—"
"They won't listen," Sacco said. "They might hear you, but they won't listen. They were very clear with me. No proof will be enough for them other than the sight of a craft venturing through it and returning in one piece. They want to see the humans put their money where their mouth is, and naturally one of our kind will need to pilot the craft since we can't be confident the humans could survive a gate passing outside of the suspension pods, even if they could pilot the craft." Unperturbed, Leisha turned to Dan.
"I will go with you. My money is where my mouth is. I promised to do everything in my power to ensure your daughter's well-being, and a promise I make is a promise I keep."
Before Dan could thank Leisha, Terra reached out to hug her longtime alien friend.
This time, no one was at all concerned like they had been when she did the same when Melly made a kind offer of her own just a few minutes earlier.
What was on the transcript? Dan asked.
There was something in the Hall of Memories that makes us think the gate is safe, but I don't know if you saw that. Did you? Or was the transcript good news too?
Billy Kendrick, having kicked off the whole transcript hunting escapade with his accidental computer-based discovery of one at Dortlu Tepe, waited for an answer with the most eager anticipation of his life.
I did not see anything like that in the hall, Leisha replied. I was mainly looking for all of you, as that was the location linked to Sacco's call, but I couldn't help but pause at the statues. Our history is so much richer than we knew. But the transcript, we found it over the South Pole, as I said, and it talks of a virgin planet they call Sanctuary, and described as unsuitable for their own environmental needs, but perfectly habitable for those on linked worlds.
Linked worlds? Dan prodded. Plural?
Earth is not directly linked, Leisha went on. The transcript states that Earth wasn't given a gate to Sanctuary due to early humans' unsuitability for peaceful contact and your species' potential to become an aggressive spacefaring race. However, it also stated that Earth was linked to the world of the Guardians, which clearly means us, and that our world is linked to a virgin planet. It said that in a true emergency, if there was ever deemed to be a need to safeguard any of Earth's incredible biodiversity, Sanctuary was only two gates away.
A whole new world, Billy Kendrick said. Dortlu Tepe, the rest of this city, the other 97% of this planet that wasn't covered by the shelter, and now a whole new world? So many sights for one lifetime. Leisha, you don't have an immortality or at least anti-aging uplift patch lying around, do you?
While some of the others reacted with brief smiles or chuckles, Boone, the planetary historian, took it upon himself to speak up.
Leisha, that is exactly in keeping with what we found in the Hall of Memories. This gate clearly leads to an unpopulated backup planet. Traversing it seems to pose no risk, and doing so would not only ensure peace, but would simultaneously lift you to a new level in the eyes of our population. As the brave pilot who proved the squadron wrong, unchallenged leadership will be there if you want it.
Leisha turned to Sacco.
Joint leadership, he said, drawing an almost human nod of acknowledgement from his partner. But wait, Tara chimed in. Before you got here, Leisha, Melly was telling us about how she wants to help Piper, and we're not crossing any gate until that happens. Piper can't come here, right? It wouldn't be safe to cross a gate. Could you bring Melly to Earth with us for just however long it takes to treat Piper?
Leisha turned to Melly, a young doctor he had never directly conversed with. They spoke privately, with Sacco, the only other member of the group, able to hear the thoughts they shared. It didn't take long, so no one got impatient, and when the news came, it was good.
Leisha has explained your child's issue in a way that expands greatly upon my previous understanding,
Melly said, looking slightly concerned, but not entirely without hope.
We will stock a craft with any equipment I might need, and Leisha will bring me into your atmosphere so that the child does not have to pass a gate. I will remain in the air, cloaked, and the child will be safely transported to join me. You and her mother will be present while I attempt to detect and reverse the specific ailment.
And her aunt, Dan said, tipping his head to Tara.
Of course,
Millie said warmly.
She didn't wait for Leisha's approval on this, correctly thinking it unnecessary.
I'll talk with some of my colleagues to seek their ideas about what equipments and tests I may need. It won't take long, but you can return to Earth to prepare the child and explain this to her mother. Leisha assures me she will be keen.
Dan nodded.
With Leisha involved, without crossing a gate, and with no other choice, she'll be in.
And yeah, we should go now. Leisha, Sacco, will that be okay?
I should certainly stay behind to show the squadron that no one is trying to flee, Sacco said. Leisha will take you home and I'll call him when Melly is ready, at which point he'll return to gather her for the trip to Earth and then beam you up to the craft. As you know, it probably took me longer to explain that than your experience of the journeys will feel.
Dan grinned.
Thank you. Can I stay here too? Billy asked, taking everyone aback. His question was directed primarily at Dan. Not forever, just until we've gone and gotten back through the gate. While you're on Earth and then up in the other craft with Piper, I can be here checking stuff out. Makes sense, don't you think?
If you want to, and if they say it's okay, Dan said, unsure how else to reply.
I think that will work,
Leisha chimed in.
It might even show the squadron that Dan and Terra are definitely coming back. They wouldn't like both Sacco and myself to leave, as he suggested, and they probably wouldn't like all of you to leave either. They are a very literal cast, or were, in terms of no longer being a cast as such, and sometimes they have to see things rather than trust words or logic.
Oh, we've been dealing with that, Billy chuckled. Believe me. So that's it, we all agree? I'll stay with Sacco and Boone, check out some more artifacts, and maybe even look inside the machines for any relics or signs of old transcripts like we talked about on Earth.
Boone reacted. Now that could be very interesting.
Terra breathed deeply.
So me and Dan will go to Earth with Leisha. Then we'll bring Emma and Piper to see the doctor on a craft inside Earth's atmosphere when everything is ready for that. Then they'll go home again, all better, and we'll come back here to deal with this gate drama before going home for real. Am I missing anything?
When you put it like that, we'll be home in time for dinner, Dan said, feeling upbeat enough to chuckle now that a workable plan was in place.
I don't even know what day it is, Terra laughed. But Melly, thank you again. I'll see you soon.
The young doctor smiled.
You too, Boone, Dan said. Thanks. We'll see you just a little bit later when we come back to get this gate crossing over with.
And I'll see you guys soon too, Billy said, almost as keen to get on with his own day as they were with the pressing matters of theirs. He shook Dan's hand and hugged Terra, then looked deeply in Leisha's eyes and winked.
Good job with that transcript, brother, he said.
Alessandro deserves some credit, Leisha replied with a knowing smile of his own. Timo, too.
Teamwork for the win, Terra chimed in. But can we get going? The sooner we leave.
Leisha nodded slowly.
Flash on three,
he warned them, more for effect than anything else.
One, two.